Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's, you know, we're back with another episode of Lee and Keys Real Talk. This is episode number 25, lucky number 25. I don't really know what's all that lucky about it, but, you know, we're going to figure that out in time. You know, I got my boy Lee. We're chilling. And, you know, this episode, we just thought that we take it back to the basics, you know, of how we started this whole thing, not just, you know, the content we're talking about, but, you know, the format in which we're talking about it, the structure of the show. Is like, instead of getting into the specifics of everything, we're just going to, you know, go with where it all started, with how we go off the top. And, you know, the way we used to just, when we started out, we would just be talking up on the timeline. And me and him would just chop up different topics, you know, that we were interested in, which is what we're going to do tonight, but it's completely random. So here, you know, he's got some stuff he wants to bring out, and I got some stuff I want to bring out, and neither of us know what each other's about to bring out. And it's definitely going to be interesting. So we're going to get right into it.
So in other words, my man Keys, he's the MC. So tonight we freestyling it, baby. That's how we doing it tonight.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty spot on. Yeah, we're just gonna go freestyle tonight.
So
we're just gonna go freestyle tonight. And what's it called? So my bad, I just had to grab a drink. So yeah, you know, you can start off. What was the first thing?
No. I'm gonna let you start off because I want you to go ahead and get into a groove, and then hopefully my topic and your topic are two different topics. But if they're the same topic, we definitely on the same wavelength. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and start. What's on your mind, bro?
All right, so. Considering that you jump out with that, I'm gonna probably just go with my topic that I was thinking might have been the same thing that you were gonna say, because I had just seen it today, and I think it was only first reported in the last like 2 days, and there was actually multiple sources, like pretty legitimate sources, that usually come out with, you know, what ends up being official news, that had reported that this was in the works. So I'm going to just throw it out with a hint. There's a certain interim title fight that is being targeted for – man, this dude's laughing over here. Don't give it away, man. Don't give it away. So
– okay.
Okay, so there's a certain interim title fight that is being targeted, and it's close to being official for – UFC card coming up in Brazil, and it is a welterweight interim welterweight title fight. Now, you were laughing, so I feel like you know something about this, or you can't wait to hear it. I don't know. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, and I saw that, and I just started laughing. I said, my man Keys is going to go through the roof when he hear about this. Why is the UFC having an interim title fight for his boy belt? Oh, man. And then it has the fighter that both of us both can't stand in that quote-unquote interim title fight that's going to happen.
So when I was on break at work today when I saw this, and I just thought to myself, I can't wait to tell Lee that they got his boy, Rafael Dos Anjos, his boy. He can't wait for him to get that real title fight. But Dos Anjos is going to fight for the interim title versus the biggest trash talker who doesn't do anything about nothing. And is the most tweeting ass dude. Like, this guy, I think, tweets more than Donald Trump. And that's crazy. this dude talk more stuff than Donald Trump on Twitter, and I don't even be on Twitter. I just know because everybody else be, you know, resending out his shit. It's hard for him not to make it in the media. So you hear about what he's saying. It's a lot of garbage, too. Kobe Covington just be talking. This dude, when's he going to fight, man? That's not, so, and I've been saying that. When's he going to fight? When's he going to do something? So that's the one good part about it. There's a silver lining. Okay, he's actually going to do something. And it's going to be bad for him, bro. It's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad night. He's got to go out.
You know what?
They're going to be hating him. Oh, man. To get Dos Anjos a home game, that's going to be bad. That's going to be bad.
But you know what, though, man? When I read that, I'm not a Tyron Woodley fan like you are, but my first instinct was, why is the UFC being so disrespectful to Tyron Woodley? It's like, okay, the man fought, what, three times in a year or three times within an 18-month time period. He gets hurt during a fight, so he elects to have surgery, and now you guys want to have an interim title fight for a guy that's still recuperating from surgery and that you guys are using to train Floyd Mayweather, but you're going to disrespect him by having Covington an RDA fight for an interim belt. Whereas Conor McGregor hasn't fought since he won the belt, and it took an act of God for Dana White to strip him of the belt. And then, Daniel Cormier really hasn't defended his belt only once in maybe 2 years. I mean, John Jones did beat him, but technically that was a no contest if you look at the record book. But still, he only defended his belt once in a 2 year time frame, and twice in a 2 year time frame. So, T. Wood, to me, he deserves to have a beef with the UFC because they are just straight disrespecting him as a champion. And for Kobe Covington to even be in an interim title fight just ganks at my, just, oh my God, just makes me so angry because this guy ain't haven't done nothing. Who has he fought? He beat Damian Maia, okay. Damian Maia is on the back end of his career. I mean, for real. Damian Maia is on the back end of his career. So,
hey,
But my thing is this. The interim belt thing is, I get it when the champion, you know, maybe they tore their ACL or, you know, they had to go through a major surgery or something like that and they're unable to fight for maybe, you know, 8 to 12 months. I get that. But when you just doing it, to me, out of spite, it just defeats the purpose of having the interim belt. And then, on top of that, did you hear Alexander Gustafsson say that his next fight should be for the interim light heavyweight belt because Daniel Cormier is fighting Stipe Miocic? I mean, for real?
No, it's...
What's up with this interim belt thing?
You know, this is funny because they were actually talking about this, and this was going to... I was glad that we kind of just, like, leaned right into this topic. I was going to ask you about interim titles because as I was finding about the other news, I was watching the other news, which because they had Max Holloway and they had my boy T. Wood and Daniel Cormier was on the Fox show and they did a thing. You probably want to go
tonight.
Watch that.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, you watched it too. Dope. Okay, so I was watching that today on break at work. And I couldn't agree with what they were saying anymore. But, you know, one thing that my boy T. Wood said was that he was like, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, flaunting, wanting to be an interim champion. He's like, it's one thing to become the interim champion to then wait to unify the belts for the real belt. But if your goal is to be the interim champion and you're bragging out there bragging about being the interim champion, Tony Ferguson, like Gustafsson and whoever else was. He was like, you should just go somewhere and slap yourself. He said,
that's what he's saying. He's saying that,
bro.
Hey, but you know what, though, Keys, on real talk right now. To me, the word interim, to me, when I look at it, it looks at, it's like temporary or fake champion. It's either the not the interim champion or the interim title. You either the stand-in title belt holder or you the fake title holder. And why would a fighter want to be a stand-in or a temporary? You want to be the man. You don't want interim besides your name. I can't even believe Gustafsson said that. Man, when he said that, I lost all respect for him. I'm for real, man. And then when the UFC trying to make this fight with Kobe and RDA, I'm losing respect for the UFC. It's like, I'm not a Tyron Woodley fan. But the man do deserve some respect.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're speaking out on this topic, and I should be going in on it. I'm supposed to be over here going in like saying, how dare they disrespect the most dominant champion anyways. But nah, he's doing the work for me. You see, I appreciate that, Lee. Thank you very much. What's
no
it called?
Problem.
So,
I got your back on this one.
Yeah. You know, Gustafsson, this dude's a bum. Cause like, if you, and DC actually had me laugh too, because he was like, if you think about it, he's like, I'm so tired of Alexander Gustafsson talking because you didn't hear a word. He made a good point. He said you didn't hear nothing from him in the time when I didn't have a fight scheduled. You didn't hear him talking. Then once I was gonna fight Volkan, all of a sudden he started talking. Then I don't have a fight. Then when I was gonna fight Stipe, now he's talking again, and now he wants to have a interim title fight for his next fight, and he laughed. He said, Gustafsson, he's 3-3, you know, in his last six. Like he's like, I don't want to hear from this guy. And he make a good point too, because you're not even. I mean, he's high in the ranking, but he's not really that dominant. I mean, you know, it's just sad. The whole point is that it's just sad. All these guys are all crying all the time. They either cry because they want a damn title shot, and then when they don't get that, they cry that they want an interim belt. And that's just even more sad to me. I mean, come on. It's like every division has a guy crying. And Mike Perry, you know, made a good point, who I'm a big fan of. Mike Perry, you know, he had a couple. He lost his last two, but he's going to bounce back. It's going to be good. So Mike Perry, he's had a good point on this, was that he said the reason why Colby Covington is in the position he's in and I'm in the position I'm in, the reason why he's in, because they asked him, how do you feel that you're not ranked, but Colby is you know, number three. And he said, because of his manager, and the difference is that, you know, his manager, you know, lined him up perfectly and got him the fights, picked out, you know, cherry picked the fights that, you know, he needed to get and to win to be able to, you know, propel him into that, the position he's in now. And then, you know, the rest, you know, the, you know, random popularity is just because of his mouth. The dude be talking all the time. So, I mean, and I've even heard that's scripted. I heard that somebody writes stuff for him and comes out, and that's where he comes out with all these, all of a sudden he's like, you know, this talented guy, you know, personality on the mic and stuff like that. So that guy's a random. So anyways, yeah, it's sad, you know, interim belts. It's, I don't know why these guys glorify being an interim champion, because especially nowadays, in the super fight era of the UFC, where most times the interim champion doesn't even get to fight the champion next. Yeah, so basically, there really is no real value to the interim belt. Like, look at Whitaker. Look at Whitaker. He fought Romero, and he beat Romero. He was the interim champion. And then Bisping didn't Bisping didn't fight Whitaker, and he took GSP. So, and they had that super fight. So that just shows the time that we're in the UFC, where being the interim champion isn't even a lock for you to get the real title fight. So maybe that explains why these guys are so excited to get that, because you just want to get the closest thing to the fight that you're not actually getting. Gustafsson wants the DC rematch, but DC got bigger fish to fry. He's going to take the Stipe fight. That's an excellent fight. I'm very excited. You know, Gustafsson going to keep crying.
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. Gustafsson is living off of losing close fights. His thing is he lost a close fight to John Jones. That was probably one of the top five fights of all time. Then he lost a close fight to Daniel Cormier. So then, but what he not telling us is he almost got killed against Rumble Johnson. I mean, you can't live off a fight that you had with John Jones almost 5 years ago. You can't keep trying to live off that. You should want to be the champ. You should be saying, yo, Dana White, I don't agree with Cormier going up to heavyweight to fight Stipe when I deserve a title shot. You know, maybe after all fights, if he beat me, then you can let him go up to heavyweight to fight Stipe. But for him to be campaigning for an interim belt, man, that's so lame. Man, that is so lame. But look, we're going to move on to another subject, because you watched the show last night, I watched the show last night, and it was something that irked my nerves that DC did, that I went on Twitter right after he said it. Oh, I was so mad. So it was one of the last segments they had, and DC brought up steroids. He was like, do you think some of the good fighters of our time should their name be tarnished because of PED use? And the first thing I thought about was, okay, the UFC basically just started doing steroid testing, so who knows who was on the juice back in the early days of UFC. And why every time he got to try to make John Jones look bad to make himself look good? DC, you got the belt, bro. They gave you the belt. Even though we saw you crying on TV after you got knocked out, and John beat you the first time without the use of steroids, and he beat you after he said he was on a weekend binge on cocaine. So stop trying to use John Jones' situation to bring yourself up. And I agree with what Max Holloway said. Max Holloway said, you know, that the UFC, you know, is a combat sport. You know, somebody could die in the ring. And I would hate for somebody to use steroids and they got in a fight in the UFC and they killed somebody. I think they should go to jail for that, you know, if that was to happen. But your boy T. Wood made a good point when he said, when, you know, somebody get a tainted supplement or something like that, the USADA, they never come out and apologize to the athlete. All they do is find them and stain their name. So what you stand at on that, bro? Because I know you've been very anti-steroid since me and you have known each other. So I'm going to ask you about what DC did, and then you can tell me how you feel about the steroid thing in the UFC.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know, it's just, I mean, like, for that show, that topic just seemed like it was like a general thing, because, like, you have three champions, and none of them guys ever been questioned for taking steroids. So it just, I think it was something he knew that they would all most likely have a similar stance on. So it would make for, you know, they would all have supportive arguments, you know, for each other. Same with the interim belts, because, I mean, well, actually two out of three of those guys actually never been interim champions, but, you know, Holloway was the interim champion, but he actually got a shot, like, right after. So, I don't know. I think those were just all topics he thought that you know, would spark some good conversation. But it is true, though. I mean, he brought the steroid thing, and it's hard for him to talk about that without looking like a sorry ass, you know, looking like he's trying to throw a jab at John Jones because he lost to a guy who get popped for steroids right after the fight. So, like, it definitely, he in a tough spot, like, trying to talk about that. You know, maybe he was doing that to, you know, target John Jones or whatever. But it really, it's like, I mean, it's tough at the same time because what you said is, like, you know, Vitor Belfort is, like, if you look at him back in the day, like, you know, he was slaughtering people. And then if you look at, like, Chuck Liddell, he was slaughtering people. You look at Rampage Jackson, you know, when he was in his prime, he was destroying everybody. Like, if you just look at these guys, like, all of them guys might have been on steroids because they were looking crazy at one point. If you look at them as their career was really dying down, I mean, look at Vitor Belfort now. He's just trying to hang on to his career. I mean, you know, he got older, but still, if you look at the difference of what he looked like, it was crazy. And, I mean, you might even be able to say the same thing for Dan Henderson. Like, Dan Henderson was out of his mind at one point. He was, I mean, a lot of these guys, like, you just, Lee make a good point, because he said, who really knows what guys were on steroids when, so really, if we were able to test it, you know, we could really question everybody's resume, and just question the whole sport, because the testing really never got that serious to where they're cracking down this much as it is now, where you're seeing, like, Anderson Silva get popped for steroids now, too. And he's talking about coming back after like a 4-year ban and wanting a title shot. Man, I don't know. I mean, I'm not big for the steroid thing. I feel like if you get popped for steroids in any sport, it definitely puts an asterisk next to your name. I mean, your legacy will still be there, but I think that always will follow with it. And it's not something that you can live past. I mean, I think you have to deal with the consequences of the decisions you've made. So, unfortunately for a guy like John Jones, his legacy will always be there, but so will the times where he got fought for steroids. So, I mean, he's still great. It doesn't make him not great. It just, it's always going to leave an asterisk next to his name. Same with Machida, and same with Anderson Silva, and whoever else I can't think off the top that gets popped for steroids. Like, you know, a guy like Floyd Mayweather, never been, you know, questioned to have been taking anything. And that's why his, you know, his name is perfect. You know, he never had no issues. I mean, Pacquiao, you know, at times that has been questioned for, you know, being taking certain substances to help him and this and that. And, you know, we've all seen how good Pacquiao looked at one point. And, yeah, no, it's a tough thing. But, you know, I'm not really a big fan of it. But like Lee said, who really knows? It's kind of tough. It's tough to call.
Yeah, I know me and you have talked about this. You know, we talked about it on Twitter one time before, a long time ago. And I don't want people to think that I support steroid use, because I don't, especially in combat sports, because you can kill somebody. And that's just something when somebody's life is basically at your hands. And people, you know, they keep talking about John Jones. Why ain't nobody talking about Cyborg? Haven't she been popped like two or three times? But nobody talks about her. They glorify her. You know, they act like that she never been caught. But John Jones gets vilified. Anderson Silva gets vilified. Vitor Belfort gets vilified. And Vitor, you make a good point, man. Ever since he got off that TRT, that testosterone replacement thing, He ain't that, man. He a whole different guy. He doesn't even look like the same dude anymore. So, Vitor, since he can't do TRP, he might want to get up off the game before he get hurt real bad in the ring too. But I just wanted to get that off my chest, because I just don't like when DC, because he has a national audience on that show, I don't like the way he uses John to raise himself up. I just don't like that.
Yeah, and you know, like we'll probably talk about this, like, just this fight, you know, the DC and Stipe fight. Cause, like, I'm gonna be excited for that. You know, we have Khabib and Ferguson coming up too. I mean, but next week's show we'll probably do it because it'll be a week away at that point. But yeah, the DC and Stipe. You know, he thinks that, you know, he did say, well, this is speculation. He didn't say it, but there is speculation that, like, maybe DC, like, he thinks, like, getting that heavyweight belt too would, you know, could solidify him as a GOAT, you know, in the sport, and could get him past, you know, his loss, two losses to John Jones, you know, in terms of his legacy. I mean, becoming a two-time champ anyways is going to uplift you no matter what. I mean, if you lost before or not. Conor McGregor's lost three MMA fights in his career, but he's won titles in two weight divisions in Cage Warriors, and he's won titles in two weight divisions in the UFC. And I can tell you this, nobody talks about his losses. Nobody. No one even cares about the Nate Diaz loss. And that's because of what you do is able to overshadow your losses. You just have to put in the work and do it the right way. And I think that's the way DC might be looking at it at this point.
I mean, that's a good point. I never really thought about it like that. But
especially
then that he won the heavyweight. Then he won the heavyweight Grand Prix tournament in Strikeforce. I mean, it's not like we don't know that he's talented and he got skills. I mean, my thing is, like you always say, is let your fights write your legacy. Don't let your mouth write your legacy. Let your fights write your legacy.
Right. Yeah, so I think it's a lot of DC, the fact that he's on, you know, on the Fox thing, and he's always like a host for a lot of these shows, kind of puts him in the position to have to, you know, throw out certain topics and give more of his personality. So that puts him in the position to, for more scrutiny, you know, for whatever he might say. So, yeah, who knows, you know, but, you know, this, I actually mentioned this and I can, you know, kind of jump right off of that. But what I was saying is that, like, guys like Floyd Mayweather, you know, he never been, at least as far as I know, never been questioned for, you know, having been taking any substance, or I don't know of any times where, you know, that he didn't, you know, somebody didn't want to fight Floyd because they were questioning him for being on a substance. It's usually the other way around. He didn't want to fight guys because he don't want to fight dirty fighters, which is understandable. I respect people that don't want to. I mean, you got Whitaker, who don't even want to fight Romero if he misses weight. Never mind, you know, just being like Bisping, who didn't want to fight Romero because he's, you know, a steroid user. And Bisping refuses to fight Vitor, too. Vitor Papa want to fight Bisping for his last fight. He said, I wouldn't even, like, spit on him if he was on fire. He said, you know, Bisping hates guys who have been even questioned a little bit about steroids. Same with Makeda, too. Bisping talked down on all them guys. But my point is that everybody has different reasons for not taking fights. But I just never seen that happen with Floyd. And that's why I think his legacy will always be straight. Even if, you know, even if he comes over to the UFC and, you know, takes a UFC fight, puts on the 4 ounce he loves, and we see him in the octagon, even if, you know, he has to, you know, learn a lesson, come over, make some money, you know, maybe take a kick to the head. He might get knocked out, but he'll probably make a lot of money. And I think he'll gain a lot more respect, too, especially after, you know, he said at one of the press conferences about how, like, oh, like, I'm the best fighter, you know, we can fight anywhere, you know, even I kick ass anywhere I go, whether it's in a boxing ring or an octagon. And when he said the octagon, everybody kind of was like, oh, wait, like, Floyd might be saying he's trying to do a UFC fight after this. So then he beats Conor in the boxing match. And then now, you know, for a time after that, it was kind of a question of like, you know, did he know that there was a part two to this? You know, don't you think he knew that there was the rebuttal to then come back and, you know, do the rematch in the octagon? And I had heard a lot about that after the fight. And then, you know, obviously me, I want to see it because I'm a fan of the UFC, not really as much a fan of boxing. Of course, I want to see the fight in the octagon more than I wanted to see it in the boxing ring the first time around. But it'd be so cool to get it the second time around in the octagon. So, I mean, it's interesting to me because even though, you know, I don't take Floyd seriously as a MMA fighter because he's not an MMA fighter, obviously. But even though I don't, I still think that it would be – it's inspiring to see – somebody want to try something different. The same way when McGregor wanted to box, like that was the same thing. Everybody was like, "Oh, we can't take him seriously as a boxer." But it was. I enjoyed seeing somebody try and do something that is out of their, like they knew they would. It's not their home turf. Like you're trying to going out of your way to take an away game and, you know, go off home soil and try to pick up a new skill and try and fight in a different world. So if Floyd would have tried to come over and do that, it's respectable to me, even if he came over and lost. Or even if he would have come over and win a UFC fight, then all the more power to him. I'd be equally as shocked. Either way, just seeing him get in there, I'd be shocked. So, I don't know, it's getting crazy because it's getting more and more – it's seeming more and more likely as the days go on. It's seeming more and more likely.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna go off topic for a minute, and then I'm gonna come back on topic to get back to what you were saying. As you know, well, you might not know, Canelo Alvarez tested positive for a steroid prior to this Triple G fight that he's about to have, and they said that it's due to the meet down in Mexico having steroids in it, la 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 la. If you know the meat got steroids in it, why are you eating it? You are a millionaire. You can have your food overnighted to you on dry ice, whatever, whatever, so you don't even have to put yourself in this situation. But that's neither here nor there. Everybody that knows me knows I'm not a Floyd Mayweather fan. I feel Floyd single-handedly destroyed boxing by picking and choosing who he fights, when he fights, you know. And back in the day of boxing, the best fought the best, and that's how it went. But then Floyd came along, and Floyd decided to do his own promotions, make his own contracts and do all this. And he fought who he wanted to fight when he wanted to fight him. And now boxers do that to the day where, you know, guys will rather forfeit a belt than fight a guy. I mean, boxing is your profession, so don't you supposed to get in the ring and fight somebody if they the next one up? But that's neither here nor there. Floyd would not get in the octagon. And if he do get in the octagon, it will not be against Conor McGregor. I think I was reading on Bleacher Report or maybe Yahoo. It was either Bleacher Report or Yahoo. They said Floyd would not get in the underground with Conor McGregor, that CM Punk would probably be the most logical fight for him, being that they're both still learning the game, learning the sport. They both have minimal skills. So I could see that happening more than I could see him fighting Conor. Because if he was to fight Conor, I think that fight would be over. If Conor wanted it to be, maybe within 2 minutes of the first round. If he wanted to toy with Floyd, maybe in the second round, early third, you know. So I don't think the UFC will put him in there to get him embarrassed and destroyed. They will probably put him in against somebody that's probably of the same skill level as him to just to get the draw and make the pay-per-view money. So, but we'll see, man. I mean, I really don't see Floyd getting in the octagon. I just don't see it happening. I mean, he's 40. He's 40-plus years old. And trying to pick up MMA? No, I just don't see it.
See, my thing is that this is what confuses me at this point, is that the CM Punk, I don't know why, like, it just doesn't get through my head of the CM Punk thing. Like, do people really believe that Floyd Mayweather would fight CM Punk? And really? Like, that just seems so stupid to me. Like, this guy is known for looking for, like, the big fights. Like, he wants to be the biggest spotlight, you know, the biggest event, you know, the biggest money. And maybe he could get, you know, big money to just do a UFC fight in general. So maybe you could say, you know, he could fight anybody. You could say, oh, have Floyd fight, you know, Eddie Alvarez, and that'll be a big fight. But it's like, why would he fight a guy like CM Punk? I just feel like Floyd, that's kind of like an insult to him to fight a guy like that. It's like, you want him to fight a WWE wrestler? That just seems so dumb to me. The last time he fought a WWE wrestler was when he was fighting the Big Show in the WWE ring. Y'all remember that? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Mayweather was swinging on
was
the Big Show like
yeah.
mad years ago.
Yeah.
That was actually really funny when they did that. But like,
but Keys,
even then, like,
but Keys, you looking at it the wrong
CM
way, though,
Punk,
bro.
Though.
But you looking at it the wrong way. You looking at it as if Floyd is a seasoned MMA fighter, and that him being a seasoned MMA fighter, that he should fight a top guy within UFC. We as fans know that if he is to fight a top guy in the UFC, there's no way he could win. Now, if you put him against somebody that has marginal skills, just like he has marginal skills, and somebody that has a name, that still will bring people to the pay-per-view. People will still want to see that. So, I mean, I don't want to see him get destroyed also, but if I know he's going to lose going in, that really doesn't pique my interest. Now, if I think he has a chance against a guy with the same amount of skills, it'll spark my interest a little more. That's all. That's the only reason why I threw out the CM Punk name.
Yeah, no. It to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to be optimistic for Floyd here. I'm not really trying to. I mean, I understand, like, the realistics of it. Like, okay, like, you know, he's not an MMA fighter, so he got to fight somebody who, like, he can actually beat. You know, why wouldn't he fight somebody who be on the same skill level? I just feel like it would only make sense for him to do it if he was going to fight Conor. I don't know why he would even bother doing it if he wasn't going to fight Conor. It just, I don't think there's much for him to prove, like, oh, that I can beat a low-level MMA guy. Like, then why did Conor go to the boxing? Why wouldn't he have just fought, like, a low-level boxer? Why did he go and want to fight Floyd Mayweather? So,
he called out the biggest name in the sport. That's why.
Right, so why wouldn't Floyd want to go over to the UFC and fight the biggest name in the sport as well when it's a rematch? Because one biggest thing that everybody said was – look here. One big thing everybody said was when he won the boxing match, most people, especially, of course, from the B side, from, you know, the UFC, and then a lot of people even that were – you know, even a lot of people from boxing world even admit, you know, my friends that are boxing fans even admit, you know, but obviously if Floyd came over to the UFC, he would, you know, he'd get destroyed by Conor. Like, he would never last in the octagon. Of course, he wins in the boxing ring, but he never lasts in the octagon. So, and he said that at the press conference, and then everybody said, well, no, he's just saying that, hype everybody up, you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's just trying to throw out, you know, it's bravado, he's just trying to, you know, hype everybody, say that, but he's not really about it. It just seemed like to me that would be much more fulfilling for him to win over and say, but I did do it, and I am willing to show up. So let's do it. To me, as a man, that just seemed like that would make sense. Maybe not as a MMA fighter, but as a man, I'd feel like that makes sense. Prove everybody wrong and say I can do this. Because McGregor did it in the early rounds of the fight. He was landing shots on Floyd. I don't want to hear nothing. Okay, because anybody can say after you're in a fight, you could take some shots in a fight, in any fight, not even talking about a professional sport. If you get into a fight in real life and somebody knocks you down, you can easily get back up, win the fight, and then after the fact, tell everybody that, oh, I let him knock me down. Oh, I let him land shots. Oh, da-da-da, this and that. That's what everybody said on the A side. That's what everybody from Floyd's camp says. They go, oh, look at those first four rounds of the fight. McGregor won the first four rounds first three or four rounds of the fight because, you know, that was Floyd's game plan. He wanted to gas him out, you know, and then, you know, take him out in the later rounds. That was the game plan. Okay, maybe it was, but if you watch the highlights of the fight, people don't understand that there was moments where Floyd was swinging back in the later rounds. He would miss the shot, and McGregor would land on him with a counterpunch. Now, people don't look at these things. McGregor was landing. There was traps. McGregor was setting traps in there, and he was executing. He was landing shots. So I watched the fight,
and I think I had it four rounds or two in the first six rounds, and then I think Floyd started coming on in the later rounds. But at the same time, I think it's easier for an MMA guy to go on a boxing ring than it is for a boxer to come in an MMA octagon. And, you know, man, we could talk about this all day, but I got to ask you about this. I saw this story today. It was on ESPN.com, I think. And they said, no, it was actually on Yahoo Sports, that Dana White is offering the heavyweight champion in boxing, Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua. $500 million
for a five-fight deal. Man, what you think about that? Man, I gotta hear this from you. $500 million.
You know, I didn't actually understand. I didn't understand what that contract was for. I mean, well, I think it's Zuffa, which I don't even understand what all these companies are at this point because it seems like all these companies own each other. Okay. Zuffa is like one company. Okay, UFC wants $500 million boxing mega deal with Anthony Joshua. But Zuffa Boxing is the company that's offering the deal, right? So I'm really confused about this. Like, because you have the UFC and you have WME who bought the UFC. And then you have Zuffa Boxing. So who the fuck is Zuffa? Okay, so I don't understand that. But anyway, so $500 million for five fights. I don't understand what all these companies are. I feel like there's too many companies involved in the UFC. But, yeah, so you have $500 million. I didn't know that it was a five-fight deal. I didn't even understand what the $500 million was for. I thought the $500 million was his contract, which is even crazy, just being a contract, like then looking at five fights, I didn't think it was a fight contract. I thought somebody was trying to sign him. I thought that was like the contract to sign him, which is just crazy in itself, $500 million. But damn, I didn't know it was a fight deal for the UFC. But I did see that that they asked him, I don't know who asked him, but he did come out, and there was a quote, and he had mentioned, Anthony Joshua mentioned, I know he mentioned Ngannou, said he'd be interested in fighting Ngannou. He didn't say him by name, but he said, oh, that guy from the Congo. And he recently lost the fight or something like that. But then he's talking about Ngannou. Ngannou's from Cameroon. He's not from the Congo, but that's who he was talking about. And I think he mixed that up, but he was talking about Ngannou. And then they had John Jones. He mentioned he'd be interested in fighting John Jones. And there was one other guy that said he was interested in fighting. I forget who it was, but yeah, that'd be cool because I mean, it's similar to the Floyd thing. Because I mean, I think it's a similar topic, but Anthony Joshua coming over is like, it would still be huge. I mean, he's one of the biggest names in boxing today. When you think about Floyd, it's like, Floyd's kind of, I mean, he's the biggest name. And you can argue that he's the biggest name in the fight game today. But mm-hmm. if you're talking about boxing, Anthony Joshua, especially like for the heavyweights, he's the biggest heavyweight. I mean, him and Wilder. You know, Klitschko before he, I think he's retired now, but he was still a big name, kind of. I mean, these guys are like the biggest dudes in there, you know, in boxing. So, new guys I'm talking about, you know, biggest new names. So,
okay.
I mean, I guess that'd be pretty cool.
So,
and, you know, I know Stipe, you know, be calling out Anthony Joshua for a fight. He wanted a super fight, but Joshua, I don't think he's interested in that fight. He said, who's Stipe? You never heard of him, so I guess he's not interested in that.
But you know
that's
what?
The guy that's
beating
Ngannou,
point,
the guy that you want to fight, bro.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, for real. But you bring up an interesting point, and I didn't think about this. Maybe the UFC is trying to sign him and be his promoter. You know, instead of signing him to be a UFC fighter, maybe they're trying to get into the boxing side on the promotion side. Whereas, like you said, and on one of our earlier shows, that you was afraid that Floyd would come into UFC and start poaching away fighters so he could promote them, and you know. Maybe that's what the UFC is doing. They're using Joshua not as to come into the UFC to fight, but maybe to promote him as a boxer. I never thought about that. So,
yeah,
I'm going to have to do a little bit
that
more kinda, research on that one.
Yeah, Zuffa Boxing. I don't understand who these companies are.
See, I'm thinking
oh,
Zuffa Boxing is like Zuffa Boxing is probably like where Oscar De La Hoya is, Golden Boy Promotions. Then you got Top Rank with Bar Arum and them, and then you got the Money Team, Floyd Mayweather Promotions. So maybe Zuffa is trying to get into the boxing side of the promotion thing. I mean, it kind of makes sense now that I think, now that you brought it to my attention when you said Zuffa Boxing, because I didn't know that they had Zuffa Boxing and they got this, they got that. I knew about the UFC side of it, but I didn't know they was trying to let you know they had other subsidiaries. So, yeah, maybe they're trying to sign him as to promote him and his fight. So that kind of makes sense. But if he really wanted to call somebody out, why wouldn't you call out the champ? Why would you call out the guy the champ just beat? Kind of whack to me, but okay.
Plus, it's like, if you notice, a lot, these guys want to, you know, Floyd, he didn't specify anybody who he want to fight. In this case, Anthony Joshua names who he'd want to fight and who he might be interested in fighting. And he named, you know, Ngannou, who's just a stand-up fighter. I mean, if you don't know Stipe, that's interesting because I'm sure you just saw Stipe beat Ngannou because Ngannou only has stand-up skills. It's funny because all these boxers talking about the octagon, and this is something that's interesting, is that they just talked about, I was watching an interview with a couple of Floyd's bodyguards, you know, that from, you know, the Money Team guys, and they actually referenced Ngannou when they were talking about Floyd's development as an MMA fighter, and they were saying, Floyd can do it. What about that Ngannou guy? They said he could do it in 4 years because Ngannou's only been training MMA for 4 years, and he's at the point he's at now. But if you look at the skills he has, he only really has the boxing. He only has the striking. He doesn't have anything else. We just saw him got dominated for 5 rounds by Stipe because he has no wrestling ability. He didn't have anything. No takedown defense, no nothing. He just knows how to throw punches. And that's why these guys want to call out guys like that, because they just want somebody who's one-dimensional who they could possibly beat because they're only going to have a stand-up fight. You don't need to worry about him taking you down. You don't need to worry about him trying to wrestle you. You don't need to worry about him throwing leg kicks and all this stuff, trying to kick your legs off. You can just have a stand-and-bang fight with Ngannou. That's why you want to call him out. And it's funny that he said he doesn't know who Stipe is. And then I think that's a front, because you know that Stipe just beat Ngannou. And he's just trying to, he's trying to demean him. Yeah, and exactly. You know him. He called you out, like, you know, a million times. You know damn well who that is.
Yeah.
Stipe's a beast. People are going to stop hating on my boy. Stipe's a star. Stipe should be number two on the pound for pound. I've been saying that for a while.
And who should be number one? And who number
one? Demetrius Johnson stays at number one. The dude's had like 100 title defenses. He stays at number one. He's good. Unless he loses,
you show my man DJ some respect.
Hey, unless he loses to Dillashaw, I mean, then maybe I don't know. If he loses to Dillashaw, I'm gonna be disappointed in him. Even though I'm probably going to bet on DJ. I'm probably going to do a money bet on Demetrius Johnson to beat Dillashaw, because I think he might smoke Dillashaw. It might be bad. Like, this might be bad. I'm telling you. Like, Dillashaw might get embarrassed in that fight. And I kind of hope it happens, because I think Dillashaw is too big for his britches. If you go back and watch the fight with Cody, watch that fight back. Dillashaw didn't even look impressive in that fight. He almost got finished at the end of the first round, and he got saved by the bell. And then in the second round, he got a lucky shot, and he was able to finish the fight, you know, with a TKO. It wasn't actually a knockout. That you don't get stock for that, for me. So that's why Demetrius, he's going to get killed in that fight. So I'm getting off topic, but Stipe should be number two, and DJ stay number one. And unless he lose the belt or something, then maybe he dropped down. Stipe might – they probably still won't put my boy Stipe at number one, because they have no respect for my boy. And that's why after the Boston fight, when he beat Ngannou, you seen Dana White try and put the belt on Stipe, and he was like, nah, you won't put the belt on me. Here, let me take the belt. I'll give it to my coach. He put the belt on me.
I
got respect for my coach.
I missed that.
He's like, I don't respect you. I don't respect you, Dana White. Get out of here. You want to put the belt on Ngannou tonight. You don't even want to put the belt on me. My coach's going to put the belt on me because we work for this. Yeah, go back and watch it. He denies. Dana wanted to – you know how they do it. Stipe was like,
Dana always coming in with the belt, and he tried to wrap the belt, and he wraps the belt around a champion's waist. But I think as far as the pound for pound, I agree with you. I have DJ number one. I think I got Stipe number two. Number three is kind of a toss up. But see, people really ain't fought though, man. It's like, it seemed like it's been a while since I've seen Holloway fought. It's been a while since I've seen Conor Ford fight. Then GSP comes back, he fights and leaves. It's like, man, what's going on? So I really don't know who I would have number three. If you were to force me to pick a three, I'll probably go with New Year's or Cyborg, or Cyborg and New Year's as a tie for number three. But
yeah, Nunes actually has a good run right now.
Yeah, it's just so tough, man, because, man, we don't really see fighters fight on a consistent basis no more. Whether it's like 2-3 years ago, you know, guys would fight 2 or 3 times a year or 4 times in 6 months. You know, stuff like, 4 times in 18 months. Now these guys, they fight one fight and they done for like 6 months. So, yeah. You know, man, you know, we done chopped it up tonight. You know, we've been going off the dome, freestyling with it. But, you know, we got a couple more minutes left. So I got to ask my man Keys what I always ask around about this time. Keys, what's on your mind, man?
Well, at this exact moment, I was gonna carry on what I was just about to say. So I just wanted just to point out that if you look at Stipe's last six, so he's 6-0 in his last six fights. The last time he lost was to Junior Dos Santos.
And they're all finishes?
They are all finished. No. The 5 of 6, because he had the unanimous decision against Ngannou. The 5 previous to that were all finishes. And then he lost. His last time he lost was a unanimous decision. Junior Dos Santos, when they fought the first time. He's only been finished one time in his career, actually. He was finished by Stefan Struve. He lost by TKO in 2012. He's only been finished one time in his career. And then he lost the decision to Junior Dos Santos, and he avenged that loss when he beat Dos Santos last year by TKO. It was in the first round. So if you just look at his last six, he dominated Ngannou. He beat Dos Santos.
Dominated.
So he got him back for – he dominated Ngannou. He finished Dos Santos, TKO, in the first round. Before that, he finished Overeem by knockout in the first round. Before that, he finished Verdum by knockout in the first round. Before that, he finished Arlovski by TKO in the first round. Before that, he finished Mark Hunt by TKO in the fifth round. So, man, that's crazy. His last four fights before Ngannou, when he dominated for 5 rounds, were all first-round finishes. Before that, he knocked out, TKO Mark Hunt in the fifth round. 4 first-round finishes in his last 4 fights. And 2 out of 3 of those.
So basically, in other words, what you're saying is he is the most dangerous man in MMA.
I think, Stipe is a bad dude. That's what I'm saying. Stipe is a bad dude, and I'm telling DC, be careful with this man. This is not the Strikeforce days. Be careful with my boy Stipe. Don't get your head taken off, because he is not coming to play with you. That's what I had to say.
No, he ain't.
And I'm a fan of DC. You know that. Everybody knows I'm a DC fan, but CP ain't coming to play with you. Don't think it's a game in there. The Saints strike for us. CP will take your head clean off, and he can wrestle. Don't think your wrestling can overpower him, because we just seen that he can. CP is a world-class wrestler. He can handle you on the ground, and he can handle you taking him down and throwing him around. He's not Gustafson, it's a small dude. CP is not going to play with you.
Yeah, man. I think
Stipe
is
at number two.
I think Stipe is going to dominate. I think he's going to dominate DC. And I think he's going to make it look real easy. I think DC think he's going to come in there and just throw him around. I just don't see that happening. I think DC probably. He may land a takedown or two, when I see Stipe getting back to his feet and maybe taking DC down. And I think if Stipe was to get on top of DC, can DC really get up with a bigger guy, you know, on top of him? Whereas he's used to fighting these 205 guys, where Stipe might come in there at 250, you know, 250, 255. You know, I don't see him being no more than 250, though, because he normally keeps himself in good condition. But
he's 245.
It's interesting. Yeah.
He paid
like I said, I don't think he would come in over 250. Yeah, that's cool. That's a good weight. So what you think? DC will come in wearing what, about 230, 225, no more than 235?
Yeah, I can't see him. I mean, I don't know what he walk around at, but I think he would try to get to a close weight to Stipe. So probably I would think to maybe 230 at least. I would think he'd want to be like close in weight.
Well,
he was
if he
smart.
Come in there that big, he definitely would lose the quickness advantage because he's used to fighting at 205. And at 205, he's not carrying around that extra weight, so his movement is a little bit more fluid. But I don't see him being able to out-quick Stipe if he comes in at 230, 235, you know. But we'll see what he come in weighing. But, yeah, it's a good it's an interesting fight.
You know, what I just want to say, too, is that what they're doing building up to this fight is the same thing they do every time Stipe fights. They always got him as the underdog. Nobody talk about his skills. They just talk about his opponent and how dangerous his opponent is. This happens every time, and they don't give Stipe no credit, and they didn't even give him any credit when he fought Verdum for the belt. All they talk about was, you know, Verdum's skills, and Stipe can't. There's no way. He don't got a chance. And we've seen what he did with him. He dropped him very quick. So that's what happens with all these guys. You know, the first fight with Junior Dos Santos was crazy, and he lost the decision. You know, it was a really crazy fight. They just talk about that, and they said, you know, this and that, and we've seen what he did with him. So, I mean, it's another day at the office. Stipe, he's going to go to work here. So they're just going to do – and they're talking up DC and saying how, you know, he could be a two-division champion. And you know what's funny about it is Kenny Florian actually said – I think he actually came out and said that DC was going to win this fight. I'm just waiting because he also said that – Stipe didn't have a chance against Ngannou. And we've seen what he did with him. So that's the same thing. That holds the same stock as Chael Sonnen. You know, Chael Sonnen liked to predict a lot of fights. And I'm a fan of Chael Sonnen. I love especially his blogs and stuff. I feel like he's a really knowledgeable guy. And the UFC kind of messed up with him. I feel like they could have him as a commentary guy right now. So they kind of let him go, and they fucked up. But, you know, Chael Sonnen, every time he predicts a fight, it goes the opposite way. So I'm just waiting for Chael Sonnen to come out and predict Cormier to win so then I can just have that confirmation. Because we already got Kenny Florian saying DC and Stipe don't got a chance, you know, when he said they said that the last time. And we've seen what happened. So everybody say Stipe don't got a chance. They do this every time. And we not shook, and it don't matter. My boy going to come in there and do what he do every time. We're going to go to work, and it's going to be four consecutive title defenses. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. But, you know, man, I think I don't know why DC would be favored. Maybe he's being favored because they're – looking at that Strikeforce heavyweight tournament that he won or whatever. But I just don't see the blatant disrespect for Stipe when he's the champ. DC is coming up to fight him. It ain't like he was coming down to 205 to fight DC. So I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Maybe they're doing that to, you know, for the betting odds. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going with Stipe regardless. I just think that he's the better fighter, and he's going to I think he's going to dismantle DC in a way that we've never seen DC dismantle since his first fight against John Jones.
Damn. And hey, if that happens, the next show, hey, if we see Stipe drop DC, you know, I just want the listeners to know Lee's going to be jumping out his seat at the bar. He's going to be going nuts. This man's going to be jumping up and down. It's going to be a great night. My man Lee's going to have the best, you know, biggest smile on his face for the next show.
Man,
he's going to come back.
Tell you, man.
He's going to be like, man, what I tell y'all? I told y'all. Oh, but I'm going to have to call you up.
Oh,
I'm gonna call you up. If DC go down, I'm going to have to call you up. I need that the on-the-spot reaction. It's going to be a classic.
Yeah, man.
Well,
I
look up the odds. I guess the Vegas – Stipe opened up as a favorite, though. But it's close. It's close, though. They got Stipe is a minus 185.
Close,
I was leading up to that. Yeah, if you put a $100 bet on Stipe to win, you would profit $54.
Man, that's crazy.
So he's a 65% favorite. Wow.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it's a pretty close over-under then.
Well, you know, being a UFC is very unpredictable, and anything can happen in a fight. You know, we just got to watch it and see what happens. But, I just want to say one thing, you know, before me and my man Keys, before we close out tonight, is, you know, a lot of people that listen to our show, normally when me and Keys, when we come on air, you know, we normally talk about what we're going to talk about, but tonight we decided to go strictly conversation mode tonight. We didn't want to debate. We didn't want to, you know, make predictions or, you know, have a regular sports talk that you see on ESPN, Fox Sports 1, stuff like that. Tonight we just wanted to be two guys talking and talking about something that we really like, and that's UFC, MMA. And it's hard. Actually, I'm not going to say it's hard. It's easy to have a conversation with somebody that you respect. And I respect his opinion. He respect my opinion. And, you know, and that's how the premise of this show came about, is because healthy dialogue sparks good conversation. And that's the premise of our show. Me and him like to talk. You know, he listens to my points. I listen to his points. I can agree with his points. He can agree with mine, and we disagree. We agree to disagree. So, you know, and tonight was just one of those shows that we wanted to shoot from the hip and just be two guys talking. And for those that are listening, thanks for listening, and, you know, it's a little different than what we normally do, but this is what me and him do. We like to talk, and we conversate to each other, and we like to see what the other person thinking, be it, you know, what it is what it is. So tonight is definitely, in my opinion, one of I want our top three shows, because this is something that we wanted to do today, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
And I think it was natural.
Yeah, it was organic.
You know, we just didn't have to put, you know, too much effort in it, which is what we wanted to talk about. So it was like kind of the same way I opened up is like same way we used to break topics down, you know, break things down on Twitter. It was almost like that, but you just, you know, the conversation kept going. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that might you know influence you know the format going forward. We might have to do this. You know, we'll chop it up and you know break it up to a couple episodes, and then maybe try this way you know again and see. You know, I mean it's natural, so you know it's like you said, it's easy to talk with one another. We respect you know, one another's opinion, so. Definitely, it flows. You know, it flows. It's easy. We have no problem.
Yeah, it's easy. All right, take us home, Keys.
Yeah, man. So, you know, like I always say, if you ever want to call up and talk what's on your mind, you know, tonight was kind of like a random show, and we just went off whatever we were was on our mind at the moment. We didn't really plan it out like you know other episodes, so I mean you could have called anyone call in and talk about any random thing they want to talk about and you know kind of jump right into the format we already doing. So if you ever want to call up and speak what's on your mind, the guest call number is 917-889-3251, 917-889-3251. You know, me and my boy Lee appreciate everybody that's always supporting and anybody who calls up to listen, even if it's for 5 seconds and then you decide that we're boring, it's all good. You know, we appreciate, you know, the little support or whatever it is. And anybody who's called in and enjoyed the show in the past and, you know, future listeners and everything else. So if you ever want to call up, we know we're open to talking with anybody. And we'll see you next time on Lee Keys Real Talk. We are over and out. Have a good night.
Everybody.